Good evening, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio here on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide wherever you may be at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight we've got a special show. Yes, indeed we do. We've got Chan Kinchla. He is the guitarist and co-founder of the great band Blues Traveler that roared out of Princeton, New Jersey back in 1987. Well, Blues Traveler is back. Well, they never really went anywhere, but they are back with a new album on Roundhill Records. It's called Traveler's Blues. It's a collection of reimagined and recharged classics from the American Blues Songbook. We'll be talking to Chan, playing classic music and new songs debuting on radio after this. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen, time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. Well, as I mentioned on the other side of the news, we've got a very special guest. Chan Kinchla is with us, and Chan is a founding member and guitarist of the amazing band Blues Traveler. They formed in 1987 in New Jersey, of all places. Gotta love it. Great stuff in the water in New Jersey. Some of the most durable bands, Southside Johnny, The Boss, and Blues Traveler, all coming from that area. They are also coming to Northwest Indiana, July 13th at the Art Theater. Blues Traveler is back. Not that they ever really went anywhere, but they're back on the road like so many bands, and they're back with a brand new album on Roundhill Records called Traveler's Blues. We're going to play a couple of tracks from that album coming up in just a little bit. But first, for those of you that say, I know the name Blues Traveler, but I can't quite place it. Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a double shot here of something. We're going to give you a song I guarantee you know, and we're going to give you a song that I guarantee will make you buy tickets to the show. You see, it's a great live treatment of one of their biggest hits. We're going to go back in time to the 1990s and an album called Live from the Fall. And this is the big one. See if you remember it.
Like a game show contestant with a parting gift, I could not believe my eyes when I saw through the voice of a trusted friend who used to humor me and tell me lies. Yes, humor me and tell me lies. And I like to and say I don't mind. And as we seek, so shall we find. And when you're feeling open, I'll still be here. But now magician waiting in the wings of a bad play with the heroes right, and nobody thinks or expects too much, and Hollywood's calling for the movie right, singing hey baby let's keep in touch, hey baby let's keep in touch, but I want more than a touch, I want you to reach me and show me all the things no one else can see, so what you feel become mine, I'd well as soon as we're lucky we'd be unable to tell, it's yours and mine, the fishing's fine. Don't you feel me alive, yeah. Boy, you wanna give me a run, I'm right.
grown a little cynical, but I know no matter what the waitress brings, I shall drink it and always be full. Yes, my cup it shall always be full.
You're welcome. No run around. You hear the crowd go wild? Well, that's what they're going to be sounding like when the band comes to Hobart Art Theater. And that's happening on July 13th. Hobart Art Theater is at 230 Main Street, just two doors down from my record store. So stop by, see me, and then go hanging with the Blues Travelers. They're going to be here, and I'm excited because we don't get a lot of great bands that come through. I really shouldn't say that, but this is one of those bands that you don't think is going to stop in a sleepy little town like Hobart, Indiana, just south of Chicago. But they're coming, and my friend Paul is bringing them, and we're excited because we have the guitarist and founder, Chan Kinchla, with us on the phone. Hey, Chan.
Hello. Nice to talk to you, man. How's it going?
It's going great, and I do thank you for rescheduling your schedule to make it possible to be with us live tonight on the air. I know you had to juggle a few things, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, not a big deal because, as you know, most of us musicians have been in various stages out of work for the last year. We're dying to do anything, so it's good to be here promoting a show.
Right. Now, given the fact that it has been such a long layoff, like 15, 16 months since anyone's been able to travel or even get together to record, I've got to think that you guys, like so many bands, have been woodshedding a lot. So that makes me wonder, this is an album primarily of covers, classic blues things that you give your own treatment to, but you're known for great original music. So are you sitting on a stockade of wonderful original songs that we're going to hear sometime soon?
Oh, good Lord, yes. You know what? That I haven't played this much guitar just for fun, sitting around in my room practicing since I was in high school or something. Because, you know, we started in New York in 87, and we were just in high school, just out of high school. And we've been gigging ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the long just kind of picking up the guitar just to play it and practice and figure out cool, you know, solos from my favorite artists, work on some new scales. The first time I've done that, I felt like a kid again. It was really kind of awesome, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So
I've written a bunch of stuff, and I'm sure we'll get around to hashing something out soon.
That said, with the new album, Traveler's Blues, which again is a collection, 14, I think, songs total. I don't have the album since it's not technically out yet till July 30th, but I think it's 14 songs, and I believe they're all covers. Is that correct?
That is correct. It was the kind of thing where we did a studio record of originals. Hurry Up and Hang Around about 2 years ago. So, you know, when we were playing on tour and we were still kind of promoting that. And then this hit, and we had for a decade, we've been talking about doing a blues record, either covers, our own kind of blues songs. So we had all this downtime. We're like, we should do something. And then we got with Roundhill, we got a good, cool thing going with them. They own the licenses to a ton of, like, a huge blues catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing, you know, from various years of brainstorming about it, the whole thing just fell together. And we went to Nashville in September and knocked it out through various logistical challenges and COVID protocols and all the rest of it. But thank God we got one thing we could do.
Right. Right. Now, with the COVID, I mean, September, we were still in the height of it. Did you guys record in the same studio, like just separated by isolation booths?
We came into town and we got tested, and then we just kind of kept in our own little bubble and worked in the studio. And we wore masks when we were around each other as best we could, but we tested regularly throughout the process. So
okay.
How we got around it. And luckily we were in Nashville, who apparently is a little less stringent than some other parts of the country. But, you know, it had to be done. But we were as careful as we could be.
Okay. There's something interesting.
We got dubious about our protocol.
14 songs, or I'm sorry, the 14th album, I think it's 14 songs. Am I correct in that? It's 14 songs?
You know, I don't know what we finally ended up with. I just look at all the songs. I was just working on them today because I have to play some of these things live. I was kind of rehashing them. So I don't actually know.
Okay.
It's a bunch of great blues songs.
That's kind of fun that you know as much about your album as I do.
Well,
except that it's done and you're ready to go out and play them.
Yeah. Well, I know how the songs go, or at least the ones we're going to be playing at Red Rocks on the 4th of July.
Okay.
So that's as far as I've gotten with it. The guitar players are usually on a need-to-know basis.
Okay. Speaking of Red Rocks, you guys play there a lot. You have an annual. You did have an annual event there. I don't know if you did it last year or not.
We certainly did not. Unfortunately, that was one of the few times in the last 25 years we haven't done it.
So, will you be recording? I mean, we just played a live record, and that comes back from 1996, I believe. That came out live from the fall. That said, you haven't done anything in a while as far as live. Are you going to be doing anything? You've released several albums. I think Live at the Rocks, speaking of Red Rocks, was about 2003. And
yes, I
it's
remember that.
Lots and lots of albums since then. Cover Yourself, Bastardos, which was great. I do want to talk a little bit about that one because you got to work with a Chicago legend right there, Jay Bennett from Wilco. So I do want to connect that because that seems like a natural pairing. But before we get off base, I just was wondering if you're planning to record live since you haven't done it in a while.
I mean, we'd love to. At this day and age, there's so much, you know, we let people... We release so much of live stuff. We let people record. So much of that gets out that I don't think the live album is quite as special an experience as it once was. You know, people have so much access to live performance now, which is a good thing. But I guess it doesn't seem like there's as much necessity to document the live experience as it's pretty well documented just in modern media.
Okay. Now, with Blues Traveler, you guys are, in many ways, like the Grateful Dead or Fish or some of the great bands that are out there, you do great studio albums, but when you hit the stage, that's your element. And it seems like you constantly reinvent your hits, your deep cuts, everything in the moment. Is that a fair assessment that you don't really play any, I mean, you play the songs the way we know them, but you dabble so much in experiment and improvisation?
Yeah, I mean, it's for sure, and I think that's what's kept us engaged and inspired all these years. Is, I mean, for me, every night, even if it's Runaround, which we obviously play regularly, it's kind of the way you hit feel the pocket, the way John sings it. There's a lot of little elements, and then there's some songs that have a ton of room where we really stretch it out. But yes, honestly, every show is very different, and the crowd plays a huge part in that, where the music goes. It goes back to when we started in our drummer's basement in Princeton, New Jersey, circa 85, 86 in high school. Just the idea of playing together and improvising was what really got us, and which is why blues was such a huge part of our early experience, because blues is very improvisational, a mode of music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were always really into. And then the songwriting and doing albums and the rest of it was a great extra thing we got into. But the magic and the thing that brought us together to begin with was the live and improvisational aspect of it, for sure. And we try and keep that to this day.
That's why I thought that was a great song to open with, because, A, it's early on. You had all the power and energy of youth. Yeah. You had a hit single that people will know, but they also got a chance to hear you live in case they hadn't, because I think that live is your element.
We like to think so. We were as surprised as anyone. We got big top 40 hits. It was great to hear it because I heard that track. It was great to hear it there, and there's definitely a lot of energy. And John's voice, is so he can sing so high, you know, keep
right.
it up so high. And it was also great to hear our original bass player, Bobby. So, it was nice to listen to that. As we grow older, we evolve. I think we'll probably have a lot more vocabulary, a little more laid back now,
mm-hmm.
and that's cool. Because you can't go on at, 100 miles an hour for your whole life.
Right, right. At some point, you got to slow down.
That 40-year-old dude in the club,
There's a connection between Blues Traveler and Indiana. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Bloomington's own favorite son, David Letterman, gave you guys a real shot in the arm early on by putting you on his late night show.
Yes.
How did that happen? I mean, how did you guys bond with David?
We were a New York City band and just playing in all these little bars all around New York, literally 6-7 nights a week. I mean, we were everywhere in that town, and there's luckily lots of bars. And one place we played regularly, Mondo Cani, down in Bleecker, down in the village, the guy who worked, the bartender there, who was that was just his like night job. He got the, booking job at David Letterman. And we had just put our first record out and he was the booker there and he got me and John on there, our first national television, and me and John grew up idolizing David Letterman, and we watched, nightly,
mm-hmm.
and Paul and the band. I used to, stay up late and just practice jamming with Paul and the guys in my room with my little guitar. And then we're on the show, and Dave took a liking to us, and we were back on there 15, 16 times.
Right, and he always spoke well of you too. Whenever you were mentioned, I mean, he was always like, "Yeah, one of my favorite bands."
Yeah, no, Dave was great to us, and like I said, that was our. That was our first national exposure. So, and on our favorite show. So that worked out well for us. We were very, very thankful.
It made a long friendship too, because Paul Schaefer has guested on some of your recordings.
Yes, indeed. Paul's been great. And, it's always was fun doing that show because we would incorporate the band and we'd have like a horn section and, have Paul and keyboards on the band and come up with these really cool, different versions of our songs when we got on that show, which was really cool.
Okay. You're going to be on the road finally, getting it back out there, promoting Traveler's Blues, the new album. Again, that comes out July 30th on Roundhill Records, and the tour is going to bring you a little before that release date, July 13th, to the Art Theater. I have already put in a large order with my distributors. I want to get this new album on vinyl at both my record stores, and I'm
awesome.
Really looking forward to this. Being, from Chicago area, we're 30 minutes from the Loop. Blues is a big deal out here. And
you got some great guests on there. I was just figuring out the song that Kebmo sat in on.
Ooh, okay.
And he's not going to be with us on tour, unfortunately. So I'm stealing all of Kebmo's licks.
Hey, you got Warren Haynes on there, too. And he's an old friend of yours.
Dear friend of ours from way back.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Sitting on Top of the World. That's, I think, Mississippi Sheiks, right?
Indeed. Old school.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, when we did this record, we would get a lot of these songs, and instead of going to the, like the English 60s cover of a lot of these songs, we would go all the way back, and we keep going back to, like, the originals. We loved all these originals. So those are the original cuts they did in the 40s and 50s were the ones we leaned on, and were kind of we leaned on for our interpretations anyway. Obviously,
right.
They're Blues Traveler eyes, but we went way back.
Well, Warren,
Reed, that was awesome.
Warren, of course, being a member of the Allman Brothers for so many years, and you guys played shows with them. Is that where the friendship started?
Indeed, it did. When we got started, we had. Our manager was Bill Graham, the famous impresario.
God rest
and
him.
And he got us on in 89, 90, 91. Both those summers we toured opening up for the Allman Brothers. And for a bunch of kids, that was like rock school, advanced rock school. They
right.
were doing everything that we always dreamed of wanting to do. And Warren actually was kind of similar to our age, and he had come on board with them. And so we, you know, we were astounded at his playing and playing with the Allman Brothers, but we were also kind of peers of his, so mm-hmm. we maintained a friendship. And the Government Mule was on Horde. That's Warren's band, was on Horde a bunch, too. So
right.
we've had a great relationship, and Warren played on a four on the song Mountains When Again. He's played on a few things for us over the years.
Now, you had mentioned Round Hill Records had the publishing for so many of these songs. How did you choose the songs you chose? And the one in particular that I was surprised to see, because so many people have covered it, and I haven't heard your version yet since the album's not out, and that's Roadhouse Blues. It seems like that one's kind of been done so many times. What did you bring fresh to it?
Well, that was one of the ones that was really more an homage to the Doors. It was just a good chance to get some harmonica, like get a harmonica type vibe on it. And we just thought it would be kind of, to round out the album, it would be kind of cool to get something kind of more of the rock, contemporary rock vibe.
Okay.
So we kind of homaged the Doors one pretty straight up. The idea was just to get a harp duel going, which is what we did.
Okay. I want to play a song now, something brand new from the new album on Round Hill Records, Traveler's Blues. You do a great treatment of Sun Seal's Funky Bitch. So we're gonna play that. Is there a story why you chose this one? Because Sun was really big out here. He used to play Northwest Indiana all the time, as well as, of course, the big clubs in Chicago.
This is just a good, straight-up blues rock song that we thought we could nail. And it was actually our first thing going in to do this. We were like, a little nervous, getting sounds up, wondering how we're going to make this unique. And then Ben started that keyboard, as you're all going to be hearing soon, and we realized, wait, we could do this. We can be creative with all these things. So this was kind of the launching point for the whole record. It came out great.
All right. As my listeners know, we're big with Alligator Records. Bruce Iglauer kind of kick-started Sun's career when he moved from Arkansas here into Chicago in about the early 70s, 71, 72. And this is one of those songs that was trademark in his live shows when he played out here. This is the Blues Traveler version of Funky Bitch.
Oh,
playing the suite for Chicagoland. New music, new song, new version of a great old song by Sun Seals, Blues Hall of Famer himself, right out of Chicagoland, and that is Blues Traveler, and it's off their brand new album, Traveler's Blues, out on July 30th, Round Hill Records, and I've only heard a couple of tracks, but I got to tell you, I'm very, very excited about this. Chan Kinchla, the guitarist, founding member, along with John Popper of Blues Traveler, is my guest tonight here on Midwest Beat, and Chan, again, that song was pretty remarkable. Did you guys sit in the, like in the garage or in the basement and beat each other up to pick the songs? How did you decide what handful of songs you were going to do, and who picked them?
Well, it's no one, actually, because you know how these things go. It all starts with a huge master list,
mm-hmm.
and then people start like looking through it, but there's so many songs that it's... people start, you know, you go through a bunch, and then everyone, and we do everything kind of democratically. It's a pain in the butt, but, you know, we make it work.
Okay.
So we all come up with our own little list, and we all send them in to a point person, which was our manager at this point, and then our producer, Matt Rollins, and then also Josh, the guy who runs Round Hill Records, had a bunch of ideas. So there's probably like 8 people sending in master lists of like 20. And then from there, people are kind of just piping in, oh, I like this, I like that. So I guess the songs that got the most likes of our master list made it to a next phase of the master list. And at a certain point, I'd have to say our fearless producer, Matt Rollins, said enough is enough and, you know, had enough of an idea of what most people like to break it down to, 15, 16 that we walked in kind of looking at playing.
Okay.
So it was a big communal amorphous blob effort, like most things we do.
Speaking of production, how long has Matt been working with you? This is not his first album with you.
No, we did Hurry Up and Hang Around with him a couple years ago and had such a great experience. I mean, he's an amazing musician as well as a producer. So working with someone who's that level of a musician was really cool for us. So I think that's where the connection comes from. And he's an amazing producer too. And the relationship's good. And he's good at letting us go on our flights of whimsy and then bringing it back to what it needs to be. But he understands the creative process. So, we couldn't have done it without him. And to be honest, because of COVID and all the rest of it, we had a wish list of who we wanted to sit in and who was available. And then who could logistically make it and how we could do it in different studios. Cause we'd lay down all the basic tracks and then Matt had to go through the logistics of getting all these guests on. So he gets the lion's share for making the collaboration work.
Okay. Now he also worked with you on Bridge, didn't he?
No. That was a different Matt.
Okay.
I'm stumped right now, but.
Okay, yeah. I just remember Matt. I remember seeing that in the credits. I was looking through some of my old records and saying, oh, yeah, because I'm always a geek for production. And one of the things that a lot of people may not realize is that when you're playing the blues, sometimes, most times, less is more. You can overproduce and overplay and do just too much, and the blues has to kind of have a natural flow. And I think you guys have captured that, at least on what I've heard so far.
Well, 1,000%. And, I mean, the way we did it, we just would go in daily, take these songs, and, you know, by the end of the day, we'd have a rough track. So we did it quick and didn't try and layer stuff. All those takes are live and usually just one instrument with very few overdubs or any of that. We tried to get good parts and stick with that.
Okay.
And blues needs that air so it sounds, you know, sounds real.
Right. It's got to breathe.
Yes, it does.
The dynamics of the blues is in many ways like jazz, but so different at the same time. And a lot of people don't realize when you're in there that silence is as important as the noise, so to speak, the ratio.
100%.
Let's
it's so
talk.
Cool. I get to talk to someone who loves blues on this interview.
Oh, totally. And that brings me to the fact that you mentioned in the beginning how you guys were all drawn to music by the blues. You all had a love of the blues. But when you go back and listen to a lot of your albums, there are blues elements in it, to be sure. But you weren't really a blues band. You got lumped into the jam band scenario.
Well, and we very much are.
Right.
When we first started out, the first things I figured out were Eric Clapton playing with John Mayall, you know, all this early stuff, Elmore James, my first initial new wave punk rock phase, 10 years after. But what really inspired us about the blues is that it was very improvisational. You know, the emotion of what was coming up was in the moment. It wasn't, you know, the parts, because all blues playing is the original improvisation. Plus, it was simple enough for us to kind of get our heads around when we were starting out. And then, you know, we love all kinds of music, and that all kind of, we brought everything in. But at the beginning, it was a blues band. And as a matter of fact, the name of the band was Blues Band.
Just Blues Band?
Yep, Blues Band.
Wow.
But we figured in New York that probably was going to be a little too generic.
Well,
so we threw Traveler in there.
It worked.
And we traveled away from the blues. So
I was going to say,
cool,
yeah.
Is we're going to have all these cool blues songs we start playing in our set, which I think is going to add a nice dimension to the evening.
So this said, the fact that you've embraced this sound that you love so much and then traveled in circles to get back to it, is this an album that you needed to give that much time to really feel like you've captured it right? Is this something?
It's so funny you said that, because I was looking for my, my pithy catchphrase for this record.
Okay.
It's just along those lines of what you said. This is the blues album we always wanted to make but couldn't make back when we were kids. So it definitely is a full circle thing. This is finally, I think we're finally experienced enough to do something like this.
Okay. Now, one of the things that a lot of folks may or may not realize is that you are also, not only is the band a family, but you're playing with your brother and have been since 1999.
I am.
Bobby passed away, and your brother Tad stepped in. Was he a natural for this? Because you guys had history, and you were all friends.
Yeah,
John went to school with you,
and it's one of those things. He actually was in a successful band in the New York City area, and they were trying to take Dowdy Smack, which is no one would know, but at the time they were trying to kind of tour it and get it bigger, and then some of the other guys just kind of bowed out for whatever reason. It didn't work out, and that had just kind of fallen apart when Bobby passed away. And Tad he was kind of figuring out what he was going to do. And, you know, we grew up playing together. So, and he's an amazing bass player. So it was easy to incorporate. And we did have a kind of a bass player search. And Tad said the only person he would be okay if replaced him was Oteil Burbidge, who we did a show with, who we're good friends with. But Oteil was busy with like 8 other bands. So Tad won.
Okay. Very good. Well, he certainly is a good fit, and he's also contributing in the songwriting as well. It seems like the last few albums, it looks like you guys are just sharing the credit as, you know, Blues Traveler. In the beginning, you guys split the credits accordingly, and I see all of you have written. I mean, Brendan wrote, you've written, everybody's written.
For sure, yeah. Whoever's got good ideas will take them. You never know, and sometimes a good idea is just a riff that inspires the whole band to come up with something new, and sometimes it's a whole built-up number. But yes, like I said, we'll take any ideas and run with it. Sometimes to our detriment, but sometimes to our glory.
Okay. Now, Tad teamed up with John in the mid-2000s for the John Popper Project. Have any of you guys done any kind of side projects? Is there any goal to do that? And is John going to do another one? Or is that just something to kind of step away for a minute?
Well, I think that was just something funny. It couldn't have been a very good band because there was no guitar in it. But, I saw him a few times and they were okay. I was like, John, what's this? Why are you trying to be in a band with no guitar? Is it something I did? So they did a few tours. We're always doing projects like that. I'll play around and sit in with people here in Los Angeles. And over the years, especially back in the 90s before I had kids, me and Bobby, the original bass player, had a a roving thing called High Plains Drifter we did. But now my kids are growing up, so I'm trying to get more into playing out, playing with different people. But, you know, honestly, we have such a great situation with Blues Traveler and mm-hmm. such great fans, and that's kind of my life's work. So our life's work. So we stay focused on that. But I am open for hire if anyone wants a guitar player.
Okay, sounds good. Now, you and John also did some acoustic stuff. A friend of mine caught you, I think it was in New Jersey, but I can't remember, many years ago. Do you guys still do acoustic shows, the two of you, or is that something you just
sure.
did for fun?
John and I mean, we don't do it that often. We do a lot of acoustic stuff when we go to radio stations. We'll do like a 3-song set, just me and him.
I'm going to hold you to that next time you're out here.
We'd love to. We love doing that kind of stuff. So we do that often. Every now and then, we'll do me and him do an acoustic gig.
Okay.
So, again, we are available if anyone is interested.
With
Can you tell I haven't played in a year?
I know. You're jonesing, man. You're jonesing.
I'm totally jonesing.
With the exception of losing Bobby, the original bass player in 1999, he passed on, for listeners that don't know that, Blues Traveler is one of those very rare bands. I've been interviewing bands for 40 years, and you're one of the rare bands who have maintained a consistent and solid lineup for the duration. What is the secret, if there is one, of having a band with so many creative people involved to find that personal and collective harmony? What keeps it working?
It's hard to say because, you know, we've just always been doing it. But as I look back with a little more experience and wisdom, it is quite an accomplishment. And I guess
it
something
is.
I'm pretty proud of. And I think we all are. You know, we're always trying new stuff, going in different directions, experimenting, taking some chances. And I think that really helps keep the creative juices flowing. Because as long as those creative juices are flowing, you can get past much of the storm and drang of band life. And at this, you know, we also grew up together in high mm-hmm. school because we were a high school band. So I think we kind of have a lot of bonds that go deeper than just a bunch of dudes that got together in a band. We kind of came of age together.
Okay.
So, you know, that might have something to do with it. But, you know, we love playing together and we have great crowds and, you know, it's a special thing to be a part of. And you know, the more I do it, the more I like it.
We are talking to Chan Kinchla. He is the guitarist, co-founder of Blues Traveler. Again, they are coming to town to Hobart, Indiana, the Hobart Art Theater, on July 13th. And then the next night, just a little ways down the road to Bloomington, Indiana, at the Bluebird, the legendary Bluebird. And what do you got in store for us, Chan, as far as set list when you play on this tour? It's been so long, and you guys have so many albums, and now a new one. So what's the breakdown?
Indeed. Well, We always keep a good chunk of the hits in because we don't want to be that band that people come to see that don't play their hits. So we definitely got some hits. Always dig deep in the catalog. And then with this tour, we're going to be playing some of this blues stuff, which is going to be great just because it's new. And like I said, we could play the blues, and we just kind of drifted away from, you know, traditional blues playing. So it's going to be really cool to incorporate that into the set. Like I said, it's going to add a whole new dimension. So I think we're going to be pretty energized over that.
You're
going to get a little bit of everything, as always, with us.
Have you decided how many of the new tracks are going to be in the set, or are you just going to rotate? Like Charlie Daniels used to do, he'd say, I got a new album, I love all the songs, so I'm going to do 3 songs in this city, and I'm going to change those 3 songs to this one in this city. Are you going to rotate them in and out?
Well, the way we normally do it is we'll pick two or three. I think we got 2 for Red Rocks, and then we'll add another one after that. We'll probably get like 4 or 5 that feel like they're going to be good live vehicles. And then once we play them a few times, we know which are the best ones, and it'll probably end up like 3 songs that we really sink our teeth into that become the stay.
Okay, well, I hope you do Funky Bitch when you play here, because I'm looking forward to seeing you do that one live.
That seems like a ready-to-go live rocker. So I'm pretty sure that's going to become a mainstay.
All right. Another one is Ball and Chain, and both of those are available online. Both have been released in early June, Funky Bitch and Ball and Chain. And that features Kingfish on it, sitting in.
Yes, indeed.
Pretty cool company to keep.
He was amazing. We, like I said, some of these guys aren't going to be touring with me, so I've been copping all their riffs to kind of steal them for our show.
Well, let's play a little of that now. This is Ball and Chain. This is New Music Blues Traveler, and you're hearing it on Midwest Beat off the Traveler's Blues on Round Hill Records. Back with Chan after this.
Sitting at my window, I was looking out at the rain. Sitting by my window, looking out at the rain. You know something struck me, babe. Baby, why you wanna do these mean old things to me? I said, baby, why you wanna do these mean old things to me? Cause you know I love you, darling, and I'm sick of living in misery. You know my love for you holds me like a ball and chain. Everything gotta happen to me. Baby, 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 baby. Why's everything gotta happen to me? You know my love. For eternity, for eternity.
Man, that sounds sweet. Ball and Chain featuring Kingfish. Did you hear the guitar in that song? Yeah, good stuff. Also, some great keys courtesy of Ben Wilson. And of course, John Popper on vocals and Brendan Hill on drums. But that guitar, that about 2 minutes ago in that song, you just heard that guitar going. And that is my guest tonight, Chan Kinchla, and that is Blues Traveler, brand new cut, now out. The single is off the album that's coming out on the 30th, and the album again is Traveler's Blues on Roundhill Records. They're coming to town July 13th, Hobart Art Theater, and again, just two doors down from my record store, so I expect to see everybody there. And I'll be at the concert next door, and then look for the new album, July 30th, coming out worldwide. Chan, we got a little bit of time left. Two things I do want to touch on. As I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite albums from you guys was Bastardos. I think that was around 2005 or 6. And Wilco's Jay Bennett was your producer, and it came out on Vanguard Records, which is a label that I just love because everything on Vanguard's quality. How did you tie in with Jay Bennett?
Gosh, that's an interesting story. You know, at the time, we were really into Wilco, and we had worked with some kind of more traditional producers the last records before that were very kind of, you know, top-down, kind of direct the whole thing. And I think we, Bastardos, we were down in Austin a lot. We were kind of wilding around down there. We wanted something a little more collaborative and funky, kind of our Bastardos was an experimental period for us. And Jay, you know, we just sent him out a mail, like, I wonder if he'd do it. And he had stopped working full-time with Wilco. So he answered our email, and he came down, and off we went. So it was just kind of one of the, you know, those things, they just happen. You just got to throw the strings out. You never know what's going to come your way.
That was a great collaboration. Was that the only time you guys teamed up?
Yes. Yeah, it was, unfortunately or fortunately. I mean, it was a good experience. So we didn't get the chance to work with him again, unfortunately, and may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Great dude.
I know it's wrong to always ask an artist this because every album, every song is your children, but is there a good starting point, other than the greatest hits, of course, that you would recommend a new fan that might be listening for the first time and hearing some of your stuff? Where would you recommend them start?
Listen, the most successful record where we were really hitting our stride in songwriting and was 4, and that's got chock full of really good accessible music. But the fan's favorite seems to be Save a Soul, which is kind of our Exile on Main Street period.
Okay.
And so it's a little darker. We were just all go all the time touring. You know, we were really kind of cutting our teeth at that point. So that one's got the most edge. So, you know, if you want a little harder, darker rock, Save a Soul. And 4 is just chock full of great songs. So.
Okay.
Either one of those we're kind of right in the pocket as far as that era.
One of the things that's unique about Blues Traveler, and that is the evolution your music has taken. If you listen to one album and the next and the next and the next, you can hear the growth and maturity of the band, but you also hear that you take different roads. You're on a journey, and you're not afraid to experiment. Like we said, it took you all these years to get to a true blues album, but you've done the psychedelic sound. You've done the darker stuff. You've done the poppy stuff. You've done a lot of the jam stuff, which all, you know, fills in together. Is there something that you haven't done that maybe will be coming next with these songs that you were sitting on from COVID?
Well, you know, we don't necessarily, the blues record aside, because, it's a form and we really need to stick to that. But as far as like our own creative stuff, we really let that, we kind of follow the muse on that and see where it takes us. We try not to plan it. So those directions were kind of naturally, organically where our heads were at, where the process went, the environment we were in, all those things play a part in it. There's no knowing where we're going to go next, but I'm looking forward to it.
All right. And last question, and that is you guys did something unique back in the 90s. You started the Horde Festival. It lasted about a decade, and then it went away. Is there any chance with the new rebirth and the new energy that you guys have coming off all these months of not being on the road that we may see you team up with some of your like-minded bands and do another Horde?
Oh, gosh, that would be fun. Believe me, people keep bringing it up. It's a ton of work, and it takes a lot of things to go right. So for, you know, the various times we've come close to it, there's been a snafu or someone wants to do it the next year, and that doesn't work. So we're open to it. So for, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But thus far, it's been too complicated. And, you know, complicated gets in the way of just doing good music and having fun.
That's true. All right, keep up with Blues Traveler at BluesTraveler.com. And again, check them out. The album comes out on the 30th, and they're going to be in town on the 13th over at the Hobart Art Theater in Bloomington the following night on the 14th. So that's not too far from us. Chan, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been great talking to you. What a great interview. That was fun.
I appreciate that. We're going to leave the listeners with about 2 minutes of another live track, The Way We Started, from the band's early days, 1996, off my favorite live album from them, Live from the Fall. This is one that you actually co-wrote, if not solo wrote. I can't remember. Crash Burn? That's one of yours, right?
Yes, indeed. That's Falls to the Wall, Blues Traveler. Back in then, we brought it.
All right, let's do it. Thank you. We'll see you on the 13th when you get to Hobart, Indiana.
Come say hello. Great talking to you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Peace.